Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How is your prayer and fasting going? Going good? Doing good? Ayan, yes. This is our mid-year prayer and fasting, and we are focusing this mid-year prayer and fasting on healing. That's why, if you have your prayer booklets with you, do you have it? Yes, here, you can see it. It's words that heal. This is our focus for this prayer and fasting. Let me share you something. Look around you. Do you see the people around you? Are you happy they are your churchmates? Okay. Look, feel the seats. Feel the chairs that you are on right now. Is it comfortable? Do you feel like you're in a movie house? Would you agree with me that here in CCF, the aircon is like you went to another country? Yes, right? And so when I got this task to speak about healing and reconciliation and all these things in the church, I was wondering, what's there to fix about the church? I don't think there's anything wrong with this church. Employee po ako. Is there anything wrong in this church? See, you're silent. Because the truth of the matter is this. If we will be honest enough, we would say there are things that we can improve. There are things that we can work on. There are things that we should do. Let me show you a picture of a divided church. Do you see the picture on your screens right now? This is Sankt Maria Zukmund or Geteilte Kirche in Carinthia, Austria. And it is a literal divided church. Why? It started as a small chapel where passersby, when they pass by that small chapel, they just say their prayers and then they go on with their lives. But then they started building it into a larger chapel and people started going there. And it became so full that they had to buy the lot across the street and make the church, that church venue there. So it is a split, divided church. There is a road that passes and the members, the listeners will stay here. The rest of them will be here. The priest or the pastor will stay here. It is a literal divided church. But the danger in many churches today is not road passing through the church. The danger dividing the church today is similar to the danger that the early church faced. Divisive attacks. Attacks on misunderstanding. Attacks on wrong theology. Attacks on wrong purpose. Wrong mission. When we come to think of it, Christianity, if you look at the denominations, there are about 1,000 different denominations of Christianity in the entire world. And they cannot be united as one. When you have social constructs or social things, like for example, LGBT, you have Christian churches that say it's okay. You have Christian churches that say it's not okay. And then we also have theological systems. How many of you have been victims? How many of you have heard of the debate? Calvinist ba tayo? Hindi, CCFers tayo? Hindi, ano kaya tayo? You experienced that? Deeper theology, deeper studies, and all the people are starting to talk things that are not about the message anymore. They start talking about theologies of other people. And so we see the church get divided. At the end of the day, and this is true for all of us, we experience this when Pastor Peter talked to us about the Corinthian church. And he discussed that if we want to fix conflicts, if we want to fix relationships, we should have a godly perspective. Right? And then, what's the second one? Naku, malang hindi nag-church yung mga tao. What's the second point? Address the root problem. And then you focus on Jesus. The thing about conflicts in churches today is this. Most understandings, most of the things that we discuss and we don't get agreement on is basically something about selfishness and conceit. And that is why the Apostle Paul reminded the Philippians, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. For example, you're going to make a complaint. You're going to make something. You're going to make a point. Instead of you thinking about yourself, you need to think about humility of mind. And then think about one another as more important than yourself. That's the only way we can fix this. And Pastor Peter will continue talking to us about that in this current series. But who rejoices when the church is divided? The devil. Because the devil is the thief that comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his task. And so when we get divided as a church, tuwang-tuwa siya. Ay, nag-away-away na sila. I don't need to tempt them anymore. They're just mad to each other. Okay na yan. Imagine in D groups, who among you are part of a D group? Okay, imagine you have someone in the D group you don't agree with. And you have an issue. And whenever you meet, you don't want to see the face of the person. Have you been through that? It's a very difficult thing to do, right? That's why our reminder for tonight, church, be perfected in unity. Be perfected in unity. Pastor Stephen Cole said that Christian unity is based on a shared life in Christ. When we speak of Christian unity, we are not talking about let's all be uniformed. Let's all be the same. Let's all move and talk and speak and minister all the same. No, that's not the point. But we have to be in a shared life in Christ because it is a major source for witness to the world. And how do we do that? We express that through common love. Do we have love for one another? Do we have a similar purpose? Do we have a clear mission? That's how we get united. And for tonight, our topic will be John 17. Have you read your prayer devotions from this material? Yes. John 17 is a very beautiful prayer, and we're starting prayer and fasting with the prayer coming from Jesus himself. This is called the high priestly prayer. And in John 17, Jesus was exalting God, worshiping God, and then he was telling God, I accomplished the mission that you gave me. And so Jesus started to pray for his disciples, and then he started to pray for unity. That is why this is our passage for tonight. Not the entire John 17, but just three verses or four in John 17. Church, be perfected in unity. Why? Because first, it convinces others of the message of Christ. Remember that, the message of Christ. Let's begin. John 17, verse 20, he says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. What is Jesus pertaining to when he says of these? It's his disciples. It is his followers. Not just the 12 or the 11, but even those outside of the 11. You have the Marys of Jesus' followers. You have Nicodemus of Jesus' followers. So all of them, he was praying for them, but not just on behalf of them, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Imagine at this point, Jesus was praying for us. Isn't that us? We got to believe in Jesus because of the word, the testimony, the ministry of the people who did not bother, you know, just putting out that good news, even if it risked their lives. And Jesus was praying for all of us. He said this prayer, that they may all be one. That is the first time you see the unity being emphasized in these verses. And then he said the reason, so that the world may believe that you sent me. When Jesus prayed for the church's unity, he was objectively praying that we become united because it says so much about the message of Christ. I read online about this church in the United States. They were very passionate in their mission. They were doing all their tasks. They were preaching the gospel. They were inviting people to church. It was a powerful church. And then they had the church renovation. And suddenly they reach a point where they had to decide, do we get rid of the pews and replace them with chairs? That's the issue. And you know what happened? These members of this church started talking about team pew, team chair. And they started battling each other, debating each other, focusing on what they want for the church. That suddenly they stopped sharing the gospel. Suddenly, they stopped inviting people. Suddenly, when they come to church, they would talk about the others. Ay, team upuan yan. I don't like the chair. Ah, no, and I don't like this, I don't like that. And you know what? That church, slowly but surely, died. We are not to be that kind of church. When Jesus prayed for our unity, and He specifically said that the purpose is so that the world may believe that You sent Me. Our main message should always be Christ. It should always be about Jesus, His love, His passion, His dedication to fulfill the mission, His offering of Himself to die on the cross to pay for our sins. That is our main message. If you're carrying another message, like here in CCF, it's cold. That's not something that will, I think so, it will attract some people, but that's not the main message. Here in CCF, everyone here looks good. Look around you. Look around. Right? Everyone looks good. But that's not the point. The point is, here in CCF, Christ is center. Christ is glorified. And that's our purpose. Remind ourselves of that fact, dear church, that it is all about Jesus Christ. Next, it roots us back to a shared glory with Christ. Look at what Jesus said. The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as We are one. And when He speaks of the glory, this is not the future glory that we get to share in heaven when we are in our glorified bodies. This particular term, the glory, talks about the qualities of God. Are we exposing to the world, to our offices, to our schools, to our families, qualities and characteristics of God through the examples of Jesus Christ? Are we loving enough? Are we forgiving? Are we merciful? Do we connect with others in such a way that we would want them to be closer to Christ, not further and further away? Are we like that? Because this term, the glory that was given to Jesus, He shared that with us. John MacArthur said this. This refers to our participation as believers in all of the attributes and essence of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. I know all of us are imperfect people. We stumble, we fall. But with the Holy Spirit, we can rise. With the Holy Spirit, we can function. With the Holy Spirit, we can do what Jesus asked us to do. Tama mo, mali? Tama po. Okay. Nandiyan pa po ba kayo? Okay po. Ganyan naman matulog eh. And third, our unity perfects us in the love of Christ. So you see, message of Christ, glory with Christ, and the love of Christ. This is very beautiful. John 17:23. I in them and You in Me, that they may be perfected in unity. The beauty in that verse is the word perfected. Can I ask, who among you here are perfect? Ulitin ko po ha. That they may be perfected in unity. Who among you here are perfect? See, it's so hard, right? Because we have a concept of perfection. Our concept of perfection is that we are 100% good. Our concept of perfection is that we are the best of the best. We are the perfect husband, the perfect wife, the perfect son, the perfect daughter, the perfect teacher, the perfect student, the perfect discipler, the perfect disciple. But the word perfected in Greek is teleo. And the concept of that word, the essence of that word, is being rendered full, being rendered complete. And we are rendered full and complete in Christ Jesus. What He did on the cross is our perfection. Are you guys here perfected by the grace of God? Yes. Parang nahiya pa po kayo. Uulitin ko po ba yung point? We are all perfected by the grace of God. And He is still working in and through us. He is at work in us. And look at this. He said, as you and love them even as You have loved Me. The qualification is love. You will know that you are being perfected, the church is being perfected, when you see the quality of love in you. The love that Christ gave to each one of us. The love that He did, the sacrificial love. Are you more loving? Can you ask yourself that question? Am I more loving? Am I more understanding? When there is a need to forgive, we must, as Christ forgave us. When there is a need to help, we must, as Christ is our help. When there is a need to correct, we must, as Christ is our standard. You know, even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, he said, be diligent in preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And what is the center of that? What is the center of that? It's not unity. Many people say, yes, unity, unity. No, it's not unity. Yes, unity is important. Unity is beautiful. But unity is an effect. What makes unity happen? It is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is at the center of this prayer, and He is at the center of this church. That is what He is saying, that in the way He ministered, we will be able to minister to other people as well. It was the Apostle Paul who said in Galatians, he said, "You are all one in Christ Jesus." And so when we put Jesus at the center of our focus, our unity, being aligned in the message of Christ, His offering of Himself, the way He redeemed all of us, the way He forgave our sins, the glory with Christ, something that we look forward to, but also something that we enjoy today, and the love of Christ. The love of Christ compels all of us to do what we are tasked to do. If we are all united in this, we will be able to stand as one church, glorifying Jesus, His love, His passion, His purpose, His message, His instruction, His mission. We attain the ultimate goal that we become like Christ and therefore win more for Christ. I long for the day when people walk around the center and then they would say, "I like the people who go in and out of CCF Center." Why? They are so out of this world. Hindi naman po dapat maging weird kayong lumabas kayo dyan. Weird tayong lahat. Hindi. Talagang angat na angat. You see them exemplifying the love, compassion, and the characteristic of Jesus. I'd like for us to hear a testimony for this evening from a sister in Christ. Let me call on Denise Limhenko. Denise, can you come and share your story?
In a time of brokenness, I sought the Lord by looking for a church that was willing to explain the questions left unanswered in my previous religion. I was so hungry for answers that by myself, I had started attending Sunday services, GLC classes, read books and preachings by known Christian apologists and preachers. I didn't see the point of being part of a discipleship group unless they would be able to match my level of thinking and help me process God's word. Despite this wrong heart and expectations, I still joined a D group because that was God's design for all His followers. When I started serving in the singles ministry, I found myself bearing much fruit in my personal relationship with God and in discipling single ladies, all by God's grace. From the singles ministry, I kept a small circle of friends who I thought was better than me, more intimate with God, more mature spiritually, more all out in ministry. Sadly, I couldn't say the same for my upline D group. I had little appreciation to God for making me journey with some D group sisters who were, at the time, not yet leading their own D groups or serving in a ministry like me. I was zealous in the things I get to do serving the Lord, and I felt like what I was looking for was this level of dedication and maturity in the D group, which I did not see in mine. So I kept myself busy in ministry, busy with my downlines, while neglecting to build relationship with my D group sisters. I remember there was a time I specifically asked God to make me more like Him. What and how He drew me closer to Him was unexpected. Last year, my upline D group family went on our first out-of-town trip. I had a good time with them, but apparently, some of them thought differently. I was told that I needed to apologize for a few things I did wrong on that trip. Cut the long story short, I had to humble myself and ask what I did wrong over and over with different people to get different perspectives. I arrived at the conclusion that I was accountable to only one thing. I apologized for what I did wrong, but I was so hurt with how things were. I put walls right away and thought, I don't need this drama. I don't need to explain myself to them. I don't need to be part of this D group. I was ready to leave. But God sent me help to see things from His perspective. God sent my fiancé to remind me to think the best of others, that perhaps they have assumed something wrong, but it's something that can be corrected if I will just allow them to know my side of the story. God also sent me my disciples to tell me to take one for the team and be the first to say sorry, because the relationship is more important than winning. Their counsel helped me greatly, but it was so hard to accept. I was so firm in not explaining my side. Bahala na sila. Leaving was the easiest thing to do at the time, but God said no. Through this conflict, God taught me personally what He asked from us when He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." It is an unconditional commitment to love imperfect people, which often requires sacrifice. I learned that the church, my D group, is filled with imperfect people, and that includes me. And God is calling all of us to love one another unconditionally and sacrificially. I learned that my D group is not only to be my source of knowledge or kasabayan in ministry, but also an outlet of God's love. So I chose to talk to the people who hurt me and whom I have hurt. And we all chose to forgive each other and to commit to journey together, hand in hand, heart to heart, for as long as God permits. What was lacking in my part is to love my D group, and I committed to the Lord to love them 100%. Today, we are 10 times closer because we intentionally try to be more present for one another. When we think about the message of Christ, the glory of Christ, and the love of Christ, it is easier to stay united in the cause. I now realize that this is a church family, a home where love and unity is the goal for the glory of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for sharing. We'll remember to keep you in our prayers because Denise is getting married soon. Yes, ayan. So, ganyan po talaga sa D group, nagkakaroon ng asawa. Let me just show you before I close. This is the D group family that we have today. So this is the pastoral area. We had the sports fest just this weekend, and some of them are present here. Wherever you are, guys, shout it out. Ayun, nahiya sila. And then these are our disciples, and then our upline D group. Why am I showing pictures of this? Because I want to show you that even if we have a mega church, it's such a big church, you don't have an excuse. You can't say, I can't connect with people. I don't know the people who sit in the CCF Center. Because if you are part of a small group, you can connect with others. If you are a part of a small group, you will learn how to love one another, how to keep up with one another, how to put up with one another, how to extend help to one another. And that is the beauty of a church united in one cause. If we know that the center of this church is Jesus Christ, church, we can be perfected in unity. Why don't we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, gracious Son and most present Holy Spirit, we glorify you this evening and we thank you for this opportunity to come together as one family, as one church, to pray, Lord. We lift up to you our unity as your sons and daughters, that we would stand by the message of Christ, that we would be empowered by your love, O God, that we would really make a difference and people will get to see how beautiful life could be if it is surrendered to you. We pray for this church, O God, that we will all unite under one name and one name alone, and that is your name, Jesus Christ. We want you glorified. We want you lifted up on high. And even in our prayers tonight, Jesus, be glorified, be magnified. We pray all of these things in the mighty and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Praise God. Were you blessed by the short devotion? John 17. John 17 is a prayer from the heart of Jesus before he died on the cross. And his prayer is for us to be united. But can I tell you something? To be united in the church is a byproduct of your relationship with Jesus. If you are not right with Jesus, you will have a hard time being right with other people. Let me repeat, the key to unity is for you first to be right with Jesus. That means you become humble. And then when you're humble, you become right with your family members. I always tell people, if you cannot be right with your own family members, those that are closest to you, something is not right. And the reason is this, you have to examine your heart. Can I tell you something? I want to encourage you. Why? You need to focus on unity. Because unity is the benchmark of your spiritual maturity. Let me repeat. If you want to know you are spiritually mature, simple. Test your relationship. If you cannot get along with people, your own family members, your own D group members, then God is telling you, you need to grow up. And the best way to grow up, if I were you, as we spent tonight praying, you ask God to examine your own heart. It's so easy to point at the mistakes of others, like what Denise is sharing. But her D group members, her accountability partners, began to tell her also, perhaps this is what's wrong with you. You see, you and I cannot see our own mistake. And I always tell husbands and wives, family members, may I suggest you focus on correcting yourself before God. Ask yourself, how is it like living with me? How is it like living with me in a D group? You ask God to expose your own weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. But you and I are so preoccupied with the mistakes of others. And when you are so busy correcting others, you cannot see your own mistakes. So Denise, I praise God that God is preparing you for future marriage. You know why? Now you learn to look at yourself and be willing to be accountable to others.